I'm Mike Salem. We are blessed to be able to continue broadcasting my dad, Pastor Salem's messages proclaiming the Word of God. You can connect with us throughout the week on our website at cwh.org and through our monthly newsletter called A New Song that can be delivered to your mailbox or to your email. A short time ago, we received a website comment from a viewer in Texas, and it reads, "Your broadcast of Heart of a Shepherd is truly an amazing and beautiful story of the life of our beloved Pastor Salem. I found CWH on TV not long after my wife of 20 plus years passed away. I am proud to be associated with you. Thank you for that amazing story and the loving commentary by Pastor's family. Let's join Dad's message as he points out the lessons we can learn from Abraham's life in his sermon titled, Abraham, a Man Who Believed God. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Now, the week has rolled by, and we're always excited. I'm always happy when the weekend comes, because that means we're going to get together all over the world, and we're making friends all the time, and people are coming to know the Lord all the time. And so we rejoice in that as we move along with the things of the Lord. We're reading from Psalm 100, chapter 103, verses 18 to 22. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, dear Lord, we bless your name. It is such a privilege to come into your presence and to worship you. Just to think that you have created all things and there are none like unto you, and you have been from everlasting to everlasting, and yet we can approach the throne of grace when we have your Son as our Savior, and we are your child, and we come to you, our Father, and you love us and you help us, and oh, you're such a wonderful Father in heaven. We just love you so much, and we pray that this service will honor your Son Jesus, and that many will come to a saving knowledge of his Son. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan is with us today again. She's going to sing, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And God bless you, Jan.
I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Thank you, Jan. And I know all around the world, Christians everywhere saying, amen, amen, I'd rather have Jesus. And I've heard George Beverly Shea sing at Crusades, how beautifully he sang it. Now he's singing in heaven. You know, he lived to be over 100 years, and he sang all the time. And that wonderful Jesus, if you have Jesus, then you have all you need. All things are in Jesus. Well, we have some nice letters we want to share today. And I want to thank you for writing, and I hope more of you will write. And we always read your letters, and we share some of them. We don't can't share all of them. And a lot of people enjoy hearing them, what other people are thinking. And so our first one is from North Dakota, our friends north of us here, Haig, North Dakota. Enclosed is a gift for the Christian Worship Hour from our Hull Christian Reformed Ladies Aid. May this be a blessing to your broadcast on Sunday mornings. May God bless you all. So appreciate the simplicity of Pastor's sermons. I would appreciate two copies of the DVD of The Heart of a Shepherd. Thank you, the Hull Church Ladies Aid. And so we're always happy when we hear from pastors and churches and ladies' aides, and we just rejoice in that. And of course, we're sending this Heart of a Shepherd, we're sending that out on a free will offering basis. And so we have people in prison that can't afford anything, but they have access to some way they can play it, and we send it free and postpaid, and so we're glad to do that. And we just thank you and pray for these ladies and pray for their church. Here is Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour changed my life forever. Thank you for helping my Lord find his way back into my heart. And so that's wonderful because her life has changed. And when you accept Jesus, you are literally changed. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And there's a wonderful, it's called the new birth. And as we call it, born again, it all means the same thing. And that is when you accept Jesus and you say, well, how in the world do you accept Jesus? He's in heaven and I'm down here on earth. How would I do that? But he's his by his spirit. And you just ask Jesus to say, dear Jesus, you just talk to him. Just talk to him in your own way. And maybe you've never prayed before. I dealt with a man one time, and I don't think he'd ever prayed except the one time when he prayed to accept Jesus and come into his heart. And then he ended, and he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. When he got to the end of his prayer, he said goodbye. And that's just fine. Nothing wrong with that. God can hear you. God loves you. And what he wants to hear you say is, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I'm going on the way to hell. And I will ask you, Jesus, to wash away my sins and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and save me. I want to be with you in heaven. And you know what he'll do? He'll save you that second. That second. My favorite verse is John 5, verse 24, where Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life right that second hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death to life, eternal life. A wonderful Savior. And so we're just praying that you made that prayer. And this man writes and says, and I don't know if this is a man or a lady, doesn't matter. They're just saying that if he found his way back into my life, I'm a new creation. That's exactly it. Here's Sioux City, Iowa. And then, oh, yeah, this kind of humor says, did you hear about the businessman who had to lead an important meeting, but he left a little late and he couldn't find a parking place? He kept driving around and time was getting short. So he looked up and he said, Lord, if you find me a parking space, I'll start tithing and go to church every Sunday. Suddenly, there was an open place right in where he wanted to be. He looked up and said, never mind, Lord, I just found a spot myself. And so he wouldn't have to go to church, he wouldn't have to tithe. And I read that because, you know, I've known people that when they're really sick, they've made some promises to God. Or maybe their child was sick, or their wife, or their husband. They made promises to God, but they never kept them. And maybe you made some of those promises, and now today you say, yes, I'm going to keep my promise. It's been some years ago, it's been some time ago. But God is still waiting for me to keep that promise, and I'm going to keep it. And I'll be back in church, and I'll be tithing again, whatever you promised him. Here's Vermilion, Ohio. Dear brethren, I'm a Christian in a small town in Ohio. I've been here 7 years, and not one person has handed me a tract or witnessed to me. So listen what she says. I'm changing that by the grace of God. I go out most days and witness. Sorry for the bad handwriting. You would think I was a doctor, but I'm not. Oh, I hope we don't have a doctor listening in. And I hope I don't have to get sick and go to the doctor, but that's about the way they write. But the reason I wanted to read this is because here's this lady. It's a small town. Nobody witnessed to her. Nobody said anything. And so she took it on herself, and she gives tracts, and she talks about Jesus and the saving grace of Jesus. And I read about an elderly lady, and she couldn't get out. And so what her ministry was, she would just take the telephone book, and then she would dial a person, had to be person, and she would dial that person, and then she would say, would you like me to tell you about Jesus? That's all. And she says, they ask her, well, did anybody accept him? Oh, yes, some of them did. But she says, some of them, they use words that I never, ever heard before. So they weren't very happy. But she was witnessing. And so let them talk. Talk isn't going to hurt you. But witness for the Lord. And that's the way these people are doing it. Let's see. Here's Montesano, Washington. We watch every Sunday, even when we travel in motorhome or direct satellite. And so that I've got letters from people like this before. And one of them said they go into a parking lot, they get into a lot, and then they open the doors and they play that as loud as they can play it so others will hear the sermon from the Christian worship hour. Well, I'm all for that, but I'm not sure if that's going to work or not. Somebody might come and slam your door shut for you or something. I don't know. But you can try. Who knows? Who knows what God's going to do? Here's Frederick, South Dakota. This is Stone's Throw from Aberdeen. She says, I donated my DVD, Heart of a Shepherd, to the Emma Burnham Library in Frederick, South Dakota. Could you please send me another one? And we do it with pleasure. And you know, that might be something, because we will give free the videos of the Heart of a Shepherd. We'll give them free to retirement homes, or people that are on Social Security don't have any money, and the people in prison, if they have a way to play them, they write in for them. We send them free and postpaid. And so when you say, well, you probably go broke. Well, I guess we will if we never get any gifts, but you know what'll happen? Somebody will read that, and they'll say, now look at those prisoners, and they're sending them free. And so I'm going to give them a gift to help them along. And we'll probably make money on them because they'll send more than is needed. We'll have some excess money to carry on to the next person. But the end result will be God will provide. And now we're in our 40th year, Christian Worship Hours, 40th year, God has always provided our needs. Oh, yes, I have to read this. This is Ames, Iowa. And this is from a friend of mine. He's an old cowboy. And this is what he writes. Please send me the film about Pastor Salem, Heart of a Shepherd. Does he ride a wild bull in his movie? So he wants to get the movie to see if I ride a wild bull. Now, I want to tell you something. I've got some friends that are cowboys and some that are sheep herders. I'm the sheep herder kind. And I always tell them that sheep herders are smarter than cowboys because sheep herders never get on wild bulls. And I think I got a point there. But this is dear brother, I know him, and he sends gifts to us all the time, helps us in the work. And so, brother, I'm not going to give your name. You just go look and see if I ride a wild bull in that movie. One more letter here is Maplewood, Minnesota. Please accept this donation of the Christian Worship Hour. I recently received back pay compensation for injury which occurred during my military service in Vietnam. I'm often busy Sunday mornings and can't always make it to church. I can, however, DVR your show and watch it later. I also enjoy that you're an old school pastor delivering the message. Please send me the new song Bible study. And that's exactly right. We are this new Bible study. By the way, we have a little Bible study we send out every month. And this month, the Bible study is, I Will Be With You. And it has a little, I think, 8 different ways that God is with his people. And it has scripture, so you can use it as a Bible study. We have some people use it for in Sunday school, in classes. And we have prisons that use this, get it together and have a little Bible study. And so you just say, it's called the new song, a new song. And so if you'd like to have the film, you write for that, put down Shepherd. If you want the Bible study, then you put down new song. And we'll send it free and postpaid. And how can you beat that? So we have to have you to help us now. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And it's a miracle. We got a gift from Norway just the other day over the internet like that. And you get that ChristianWorshipHour.com. There's a place that says donate. And you just punch that little button or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know how to do this. You younger people have to do it. But they tell me that's what I'm supposed to say. You hit the donate, and then you put in the amount you want. And if it's in Norway or if it's in the Philippines or wherever it is, then we'll get it in American money, and we'll pay our bills. And so we just hope that you'll pray about it. And, you know, we're not underwritten by any organization, any corporation, any denomination. It's just God's people. And then it always comes up, well, you're in America and I'm in Norway, and how do I know you're going to spend it? Or you can be any place in the United States. You say, how do I know all that money's going to go? Maybe you're going to get a sports car. See, I'm 97, and I'm going to get a sports car. They're worrying about that. Well, we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. They just got done for this year. They took 2 full days, 3 women, 2 whole days. And they go through every penny we get and every penny we expend, and they about drive you crazy. But they go through the whole thing. And we're clean as a hound's tooth. We receipt every penny we get. Our budget spends everything we have. It's all marked out in our budget, and that's who we operate. So you can help us if you will. And of all things, pray for us and tell others about us. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord lays on your heart, and everything will be just fine. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one who's helping us in this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate your ministry. Well, we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with the 8th verse. And this is a passage dealing with Abraham. We're going to talk about Abraham, a friend of God, and Abraham and his great faith. We're always talking about faith, and we can learn some lessons about faith from Abraham. Beginning with the 8th verse, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in this land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had been he had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according to that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a promise. In our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Egypt. Dear Heavenly Father, just want to thank you and praise you that you've dealt to every man a measure of faith. We can believe if we want to, if we put our mind to it. If we decide that we're going to believe something, we can believe it. And if we make up our mind that we're not going to believe it, we're not going to believe it. So the decision lies with each one of us, whether we have that faith in you or not. And so we're praying that there be multitudes today that maybe they've never done it before, but they put their faith in Jesus. They'll ask him to come into their heart, take away their sin, and then they'll walk with you and they'll follow you as best they can. We thank you for Abraham, Lord, and that he is such a great example for us. And yet he was in flesh and blood just as we are. He hungered and he cried and he wept and he had to work and he sweat just like we are. He was one of us. And yet he had that faith, it was just like a giant. And so may we draw strength as we look at him today, and may we be people of faith, because we know, Lord, you've told us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then, dear Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Egypt. We know that some of them have been put to death. We know that some are homeless, some have scars from beatings, and others have been tortured in different ways. And we think of the little children, Lord, and they don't know where mom is, or they don't know where dad is, and they don't have their home anymore. Poor little children. Oh, God, we just know, I know you'll be with them. I know you'll bless them because you always love the children. And you said that anybody that hurt one of those children, they would be better. They would be cast into the depths of the sea. And so we just pray for the persecuted church in Egypt. Help them to know that we're watching and we're praying and that we're stronger because of them being so strong. So now bless us in this service that all we do and say will honor Jesus. Beautiful, wonderful Jesus. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we got a treat today. We have Melissa's going to sing and her son Joshua is going to accompany. And they're going to sing about what a friend we have in Jesus. And God bless both of you. Thank you. It's always nice when Joshua can come and join his mother. We appreciate that so much. And just think about Jesus as a wonderful friend. I've got sermons on Jesus as our friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you can have him as your friend if you want to. And you say, oh, he would never want me. I've done some awful sins in my life, and I got an awful record. He never want me. But that's where you're mistaken, because he loves you. When he died on the cross, he could see your face. He knew you. He was dying for you. And if you just come to him, no matter what your sins are, and you just tell him, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to take them away." And then you just promise him that you'll turn from your evil ways, anything in your life that he's convicting you of, and that you'll live for him and serve him. And you read your Bible and you pray and get to a church and become his servant, and then thank him. Oh, I did that when I was 10 years old. 87 years now have rolled by, and he's a friend. Oh, every year he's more dear and he's more real, and you just know he's there. I just can't say enough about Jesus. He's so beautiful and so wonderful. Well, we want to talk about Abraham today and his faith, and it's a good thing we need to look at faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we want to be sure that we're people of faith. And so when we look at Abraham, we see an outstanding man. He had a tremendous faith, and Abraham blessed all the nations of the world, all the nations of the world. He is the most revered figure in all of history. The Arabs, for instance, who are the descendants of his son Ishmael, and the Muslims throughout the world venerate him. The Jews look to him as the founder of their nation, and Christians look to him as the father of their faith. And so Abraham was a tremendous man, and his name means a father of a multitude. So let's take some lessons from his life. And the first thing I put down is Abraham gives us a supreme example of faith, what faith is. And so right away somebody says, well, what is faith? How do you define faith? And Warren Wiersbe defines it like this. He says that faith, true Bible faith, is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. This simply means when God speaks, we hear his word, we believe his word, we act upon his word, and we don't care what the circumstances are, and we don't care what the consequences are going to be. We're going to believe his word, and we're going to follow him. The circumstances may be impossible. The consequences may be frightening and unknown, but we obey God's word just the same, and we believe that he will do what is right and what is best. And we follow him and go. This sort of faith doesn't ask questions as to why God leads us as he does, or why things happen to us. We never question God. The only question that we should ask God when we have some trial in our life is, "Dear Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you teaching me?" Don't ask the whys, and don't worry about the consequences. True faith has faith in God, and they never doubt, and they never back off. Bishop Norwegian tells of negotiations which they had for the formation of the United Church of South India. The negotiations were long and discussions were without end. And some people were more cautious, and they were throwing up all sorts of roadblocks as where these things may take them. And they were just so scared, and they were bothering in all the questions. And the chairman of the meeting made a statement. He says, "A Christian has no right to ask God where he is going." Christian has no right to ask God where he's going. We give our life to God, and you go where you want, and you do what you want, and that's just fine with me. That's the way Abraham was, and that's the way we should be. Complete trust in God for the unknown has to be exercised. You're not going to know the way. You may be wondering about the way, but you give it to God. That's what Abraham did. He left his home. He left his family. He left his loved ones. He left his security. He left the gods that he had worshipped, the idols he had worshipped in Mesopotamia. And so in Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, he followed God not knowing where he was going. Had no idea where he was going, but God asked him to go, and he believed God, and he followed him. Abraham accepted what he could not understand. That's hard to do. But you're going to come to it in your life, and you're not going to understand everything, and you're going to wonder why. And that's when you say, "Dear God, I give you my life." and you go where you want to go. I have no questions and no qualms. I don't care what it is. I'm just going to follow you. That's what Abraham did. That's what we need to do. And there are many Christian people who do live that way. And many of them in the persecuted church live that way. I don't care what the consequences are. I'm going to follow you and trust you. And so what we have to do is we have to do this and get this straight in our minds. We have to accept what we cannot understand. We must accept what we cannot understand. When that hour comes to us, dear friend, when you accept what you can't understand, then obey God and trust God. Have no resentments. Say over and over, God loves me. I rest in that faith on that. That is faith, taking God at his word. Do you realize that Abraham never possessed the promised land? All his life he wandered throughout the land, but the only parcel he ever owned was the cave of Machpelah, where he buried Sarah. Abraham was a stranger and a pilgrim and a tent traveler. And so we must be followed, be willing and patient to follow the Lord. We say we can't see anything happening. We say that no, we can't see any results. We say we don't know why these things are taking place. But if we're called to God, has called us to that work, if he has called us to that place, if he's called us to that situation, plead on, stay on. The persecuted church knows what I'm talking about, how they suffer for the Lord Jesus, how they've given their lives and have given their homes, given their loved ones, and yet they never waver. They trust God. They don't understand. They can't understand, but they believe God and the consequences can be whatever they want to be. That's faith. And that's the faith that you and I need to have. Abraham's faith never let him turn back. His descendants, when they were in the desert, later on, they wished they could go back to Egypt. You remember them in the wilderness. But the old patriarchs, they never did wish to go back. They never wanted to. They began their path with the Lord. They never wanted to turn back. They never wanted to cross the bridge and go back. They never wanted to let go of the plow. They stayed with it, and they went on. Someone has written it like this: in spite of everything, they never forsook their call. And they write this: one of the tragedies of life is the number of people who turn back just a little too soon. One further effort, a little more waiting, a little more hoping would make the dream come true. Immediately, the Christian is set out on some enterprise sent by God. He should feel that he has already passed the point of no return. True faith keeps us in the God's will and following God. And then Abraham's faith made him separate himself from the world. God is going to do a work of redemption for lost mankind. And in order to that, he's going to have a special people, because special people through whom he can send his son. Abraham is going to be the founder of that path, the father of that family. And out of that family are going to come the writers of the Holy Scriptures, and going to come the body of the body that Jesus Christ is going to wear. It's going to be out of that Jewish people, those people. So he calls Abraham to separate himself from idolatry and the customs of the Mesopotamian world, and live a life only for God. Abraham had to separate himself from the world so that God could use him. And so today, who name the name of Christ, we have to be willing to separate ourselves from the world and not go with the world's culture and the world's ways. The Christian or the Christian church is the same thing. How many churches have failed God because they've not separated themselves from the world? Somebody said God performed a miracle at Pentecost when he put the church in the world. The church in the world, and then after a while, the world got into the church, and that was the end of that. But not all of them failed. God will always have his faithful people, and we can be part of them. Remember what Jesus compared us to? He compared us to salt, not to get along with everybody, but to stand true. He says if the salt have lost its savor or its flavor, it's good for nothing but cast out, trodden under foot. So God tells Abraham, get thee out. And that's what he's telling you, and that's what he's telling me. If we're Christians, we name the name of Christ, He's telling us, get thee out, separate yourself, live for me and live for me alone. They may laugh at you. And I think back in my high school days, and we had a little club called the Gym Club, J-I-M. And we'd wear that to high school, and those are high school days. And we'd wear that on our skirt, and then they would say, Jim who? And you say, Jim stands for Jesus is mine. Is Jesus yours? Now you try that. You try that going to work. You try that carrying your Bible and some of these things. It's going to cost. It isn't an easy thing to follow the Lord. But then the Lord isn't looking for a bunch of little whimpers. He's looking for some people that have a heart and a soul, who have character, and who mean business. And they'll have to stand alone sometimes, many times. God knows. That's what Abraham did. So Abraham's faith then is sorely tested. And then you know the story of that. It's the supreme test. It's the ultimate test. He asked God to give him up his beloved son Isaac as a human sacrifice. No greater test than that has ever been given to any man, anywhere, any place, any time. The greatest test you could ever make. And Abraham, is God's telling him, I want you to take your son to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice on that altar on Mount Moriah. And Abraham obeyed God. He stopped and he knew that his son would have to be slain. But look at what, and when you read the story, you read this. Abraham gave prompt obedience. Abraham, verse 22 and verse 3 in Genesis. Abraham rose up early in the morning and made that trip. His son, he had his servants to help him take him along. And they went to Mount Moriah. And when they got to the base of the mountain, then he told the servants, you remain here. Isaac and I are going up for a sacrifice. Abraham's faith was so strong, he believed that God would raise his son from the dead, right on the spot. He believed he would offer him as a sacrifice and raise him up after the boy was dead as a sacrifice, raise him up again. He says, as he told his servants, all you servants, you wait back. And this is what he said, we will come back. We will be back again. That's what he said. We, not me, we. And he believed that God was going to perform a miracle. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 and 19, we are told by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. The Living Bible has it translated like this. He believed that if Isaac died, God would bring him back to life again. And that's just about what happened. For as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was doomed to death, but he came back again alive. God was able to do it. And later when Jesus was here, he raised Lazarus from the dead. No problem with God. So let's just remember that there would be no problem for God to raise up that boy on that sacrifice. No problem for God Almighty. And that's what Abraham did, but he followed that test. Abraham made him possible for him to give the dearest thing on earth to God. In Isaac, how he loved Isaac. He waited so long for his son. His whole life and heart was wrapped up in that son. He would gladly have died for Isaac himself. That's how much he loved that boy. And God asked Abraham to give him up, and Abraham did. He held nothing back from God. God was first in his life, and God would be the best in his life. He would give him his best, and that's what God wants of us to do, to give him our best. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek first that kingdom of righteousness. God has to be first. Jesus has to be first. And you'll never live that victorious life the way you ought to live it. And you'll never live it the way God wants you to live it until God is first and foremost and nobody takes his place. Seek ye first. And that's what Abraham did. And so he took that boy and he says, now, son, let's go. And remember, they were going up the mountainside. And Isaac said, and Isaac is a young man. He's not a little boy. He could have been about 20 years old. He could have resisted. He didn't have to lay on that altar. There's no way that old man could tie that boy's hands on that altar. But that boy submitted to his father, just like Jesus submitted to his Father in heaven. And just like you and I should submit ourselves to God. and they're going up the mountainside, and Isaac said, Father, you have the knife and you have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And so you see that God, Abraham, there was nothing stood between him and God. And that's what he's telling us. I need all of you, so that nothing stands between you and the Savior. And then Abraham's faith looked beyond this world. The writer of Hebrews tells us, then Hebrews 11, verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This wonderful city is not described until we come to the book of Revelation. But I've wondered sometimes, you remember that God gave Paul a vision of heaven, and Paul says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, all the wonderful things that God has prepared for those that love him. But Paul is saying, I can't tell you how beautiful heaven is. I sometimes wonder, maybe in those long travelings with Abraham, maybe he didn't let Abraham maybe get a glimpse of heaven. I don't know. When we get to heaven, we can find out. But be that as it may, this man Abraham had a vision of heaven, and he spent his life wandering and living in tents. He was a pilgrim traveling in a foreign land. There was no foundation more than a tent stake driven into the sand. And he thought of that eternal abode, the city of God, the city of heaven, a place not made with my hands, but made by the hands of God. A city, foundations with precious stones, with gates that are pearly gates, as in Revelation 21:21. Each individual gate was one great pearl. And the streets in the same passage, pure gold like transparent glass. And oh yes, he would also hear a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, but the former things have passed away. Heaven was his destiny. Abraham knew it because God promised it to him. He promised it, and all he had was God's word, and that's all he needed. You know what? God has promised us the same thing, the same God, the same promise, the same results. We're going to see that beautiful city of God some of these days. And that's what where faith brings us. How is he going to get to heaven? How is he going to do that? Because he has this, boy, God has talked to him, and he's given him this promise. He has the promise of God. He has the word of God. And in the Old Testament, we see this man, when Jesus came and had done his work of redemption, the way God of heaven, of faith, was in God alone, and he leaned upon God, and he trusted in God, and he was just as he raised Lazarus, no guy, and God could have raised Abraham. Now, Isaac, now he is going to have this wonderful son, and he's going to be in glory, and he's going to be in heaven with God. Listen to God, what he tells us in the book of Romans. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4, verse 7. There it is, as simple as that. That's how simple it was. Abraham believed God. He believed what God told him, and he acted upon that. And when he acted upon it, it meant that he believed it. If you don't act on it, doesn't mean that you don't believe it. If you believe it, you'll act on it. If you don't act on it, you don't believe it. You say you believe it, and you want to believe it, but you don't believe it. And he had that faith, and it was accounted, and God knew it, and he proved it in his life, Abraham, and it was counted to him for righteousness, the righteousness. So someone says, well, then I'm like Abraham. I believe in God, so I'm going to go to heaven too, and I'm going to say, not so fast, Buster. Things have changed. You know why? Because since Abraham, Jesus has come. And Jesus has died upon a cruel cross, and he has shed his blood to pay for our sins. He was buried 3 days and 3 nights, and he was risen from the dead, just as he said. So now, listen to me. Now, listen. You have to do more than believe in God. You have to believe in Jesus Christ also. It's not enough to believe in God. St. James proves that point. St. James says in the second chapter, the 19th verse, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. James is telling us you're not ever going to get to heaven because you believe in God. No big deal for you. The demons believe in God, and the demons do something you don't do. James says that demons believe and they tremble, but they're going into hell because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus said? He said he's going to go to heaven, and they wanted to know how they get to heaven. And he says, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Not enough just to believe in God. Believe in God, believe also in me. How so? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have to believe in Jesus because he's the door. He's the way. He's the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. Comes through that door. So Abraham believed God, and all he had to do was believe God, and he counted for righteousness. But now in this day and age, we know better. We have that great revelation of the coming of Jesus Christ to the Calvary and the price he paid in it all, and you have to have Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that heareth my word and believeth on me, Jesus, Jesus, I stand at the door to knock. He says, if any man open the door, I will come in. I am salvation. I bring salvation, but you open that door. And so today I'm praying that that's what you've done, because Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not as many as just like Abraham, but received him. And you say, I want to receive Jesus, but I don't know how. He's up in heaven, and I'm down here on earth, and I don't know how to receive him. And I can tell you exactly how. You do just like you do to a friend. Somebody knocks at your door, and you open the door, and you say, come in. And Jesus is knocking, I can tell. I know that there are millions of people where Jesus is knocking at your heart's door all over the world in the islands of the sea. He's knocking at your heart's door, and there's something that's saying that now you're not hearing any voice or anything, but you just know that you want Jesus. You never really wanted him so much, but you know you want him, and so you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins, because I've sinned against you. Use your own words, and then you promise to turn your life over to Jesus. You promise to forsake anything that you know is wrong, and you need to settle up some scores and forgive some people. I don't know what all. He'll show you. He'll tell you. But Jesus says there has to be repentance. Repentance means a turning. You're turning. You're a new creation now when you accept Jesus. The minute you pray that prayer, you're a new creation. And now you have to follow Jesus, and you have to walk a new walk, and you got a new goal, and you got a new home, you got a new heaven, and you've got a new life. And but listen, I want to warn you something. You'll never be perfect. So don't plan to be perfect. Try to be perfect. But when you fail, you ask him to forgive you. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for all sins. I'm sorry for that thought. I'm sorry for the thing I should have done I didn't do. I don't know what it is. The Holy Spirit will tell you. And I'll turn from my sins. And first, forgive me, dog. And he'll forgive you. And you say, wow, will he give me 100 times? He'll forgive you 1,000 times, 10,000 times. My grace is sufficient for thee. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So if you made that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you on shortwave, get that down. I'll love to hear from you. Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota. And you can get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you've accepted Jesus, tell us. We'll send you literature and get you started in the Christian life. And be sure to remember now to send a gift if you possibly can. If you don't have anything, pray for us and pray that God will touch somebody else's heart so they're able to do it, because we have to have your help. And now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, We just thank you and praise you for the multitudes of people all over the world that are praying right now. And you're coming into the hearts of people everywhere into the body of Christ. And we rejoice just as the Holy Trinity is rejoicing and the angels of God are rejoicing. And now I'm praying, Lord, I pray for those on beds of sickness. I pray for the lonely. I pray for those that are weary. I pray for the young people having to make hard decisions and have so many temptations. I'm praying for the little children that they'll put their heart in you and that you love them so much. And that you'll have Jesus, and not like I did, 87 years. And they've been the most wonderful years of my life because I had Jesus. And so, dear Lord, may multitudes come. In Jesus' name we pray. So now you write to us. I'm giving it again, all you shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour and Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then you pray for us as we pray for you. And next week, the Lord willing, we'll be back. And we'll have the same old gospel and the same glorious Jesus. And he'll be more beautiful than ever before. And you tell your friends to tune us in. We could double our congregation if all of you got somebody to listen. And then just remember that God loves you. He loves you so much, even in all of your sin. He loves you, wants you to turn. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we have this service. That's why we carry on. And I love you. God knows that doesn't sound very much like I do, but I sure do. And I want to see you in heaven. And it's all through Jesus. And then we'll all praise Jesus. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.